Welcome to episode 291 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We would love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents George, Sandy, and Elizabeth. Multi-generational travel is hot in the travel industry. From large extended family reunions to smaller family groups, having many generations take the time out of their busy schedules to come together creates lasting memories and builds stronger bonds amongst family members. I know that in my own family, our M-cubed reunions are always fun, and we tend to bring them up in discussions years later. My children have gotten to know their great aunts, their great uncles, and a multitude of cousins. So let's get started.
So I think the first thing is you got to start early.
Yes. Yes. At least a minimum of a year in advance. Because I mean, so many people are busy and they've got to take time out of their schedules.
How do you coordinate with all those people?
You can't please everyone. That's what it comes down to. You basically put a poll out and say, okay, we're going to plan a family reunion for 2022. Which works better, June, July, or August?
We've done stuff where we're like, okay, this is where we're going to be. If you would like to join us, let me know and we'll coordinate. Because yeah, it can be hard to get a bunch of people like that together, especially if it's multiple families.
And if you give everybody a choice, you could never agree.
No. And some people are going to show up, some people aren't, and you really can't take it personally.
We've had ones too where people show up for like part of it, part of the week, they'll just pop in. So it works. I feel like it's going to be different now with, at least for the next year or two with the COVID stuff and the pandemic. We talked about this before where we're seeing a lot more domestic travel, and I think that's what we're probably looking at. But I think that actually works well with multi-generation. So, big beach houses or big camping trips, things like that.
I think that some of the most popular multi-generational trips that I book are Walt Disney World and cruises. And I think that grandma and grandpa might have a hard time with those, depending on their age, for the next year or so until we have a vaccine. So it's important when I think deciding where your family reunion is going to be is to think of the oldest members of your party and how far they can go, which you always had to do, because sometimes if you had a 98-year-old grandmother, she wasn't necessarily going to be, well, I shouldn't judge, because I know some 98-year-olds who can move faster than I can, but you have to consider their limitations and what they can do first of all.
And you also have to consider cost, because what one family member can afford and another family member can afford are sometimes completely different. You have to take that into account. You kind of have to plan for the lowest common denominator, and then some people can upgrade, some people can add on, some people can fly, some people have to drive.
Yeah.
And they might be coming further, or they might be, you have to kind of consider that family who has a lot of kids, and are they going to have to fly, because that makes it way more expensive for them.
Yes.
Yeah, my family had a lot of kids. We had a ton. So, yeah, it can definitely.
Before we recorded, George and I both were like, yeah, I don't have a ton to say from personal experience here. Because, I actually have a pretty widespread family, but we're pretty disparate and generationally. And we just haven't, we've lost a few family members, and they sort of were the connectors. And so even though we still hang out together, we've only had one family reunion ever, even when we were really close, but we did beach trips as a family, and a lot of the family would show up for those, but it wasn't planned as a family reunion. It was, we're going to the beach, want to come, and they would come along. And so now, it's pretty much, it's the four of us and then maybe my sister and her boyfriend.
One of the first ones we did, which was kind of an accident, I was the first one of my generation to get engaged. And everybody was coming to Myrtle Beach for my wedding. And it was supposed to be in August. And we ended up calling the wedding off. But everybody had already rented beach houses. And I had, you know, one family that was driving from California. And so they still came. We still had this big family reunion. And it was like one of the best family reunions ever, though. I mean, that was a really, really fun week. And it wasn't a trip away for me because they were coming to where I lived. But that was so much fun. But then, like, when I really did get married, most of them didn't come because they said, we already drove across the country for your wedding one time. And it was the same person.
Was this the same person?
Yeah, it was Chris.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't know this story, and I've known you a long time.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. He actually came and met everybody, which, you know, kind of sealed the deal, actually, after we had called off the wedding, and he still came and met the whole family.
Yeah.
We kind of do the same thing. So we plan a family reunion about every 2 to 3 years. But if there's a funeral or a wedding or a new baby or something, that kind of takes precedent. And then we just push the family reunion off because it's the same people that are coming to all of those events anyway.
Unfortunately, my family just uses weddings and funerals as family reunions. And every time we have a wedding or a funeral, everybody says, we should really do this more often. We should plan a family reunion. And it never happens. And usually it seems to be because the people planning it don't agree on where they want to have it. So it just falls apart. Yeah.
Well, see, we rotate, and that makes it, so everybody takes a turn and you basically get to pick the location. So when our family did it, we actually planned ours in Sevierville, Tennessee. And then another family member always plans theirs in Michigan. Other family members did Minnesota, and then we had other family members that did Branson, Missouri. So whoever plans it, they plan it. They take care of it.
So in a way, that's sort of that the big thing when planning for groups is usually you decide where you're going and then invite everybody along. Don't put it out to the group. And that just sort of reiterates how important that is. It's like, okay, we've all agreed that we're going to have a family reunion, and we want to do it regularly, and we all know that we won't agree on where we want to go, so we'll just take turns deciding. And if you can keep that going, I think that there's also a fear in a family like mine that one person will decide and then we'll never have another one, which is incidentally exactly what happened. So I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't in charge.
Why don't you put it out there and be like, this is what?
Well, now I can't because I'm a travel agent. It looks like I'm trying to sell something. But I will say that that's important. People don't realize that a travel agent can help you with your family reunion.
Definitely.
Yeah. My family was all about me planning every last detail until I became a travel agent. Mm-hmm. And they started picking things that weren't like things I would make money on. So I just let them. I'm just like, all right, like Outer Banks, for example, you know, we don't really make commission on Outer Banks. So we all knew we were all going to go, and we're like, all right, this is the town. this is the neighborhood we're going to be in, and hopefully you're going to be there, you know? And so I kind of have taken myself out of the planning a little bit because of that. Which is funny, you know, because other people come to me and they put so much trust in me. My family is so weird about that. But
yeah, we're always like that with our families, though. Yeah.
But they loved me. I mean, they wanted me to plan everything before I became a travel agent. And I did. I planned it all. So
we talked a little bit about location, but what about, like, do you have some suggestions on ways to make it memorable and fun for everyone?
So one of the things we do, we usually get matching shirts, and so what we do is we buy the $5 shirts from Old Navy for 4th of July. They're $5. They come in every size. Everybody wears the same shirt.
Aw, that's cute.
Or you can get them printed if you want to pay a little bit more and have something that's a little more individualized.
Or if you're George and can make t-shirts.
Or you're George and you can make t-shirts. We always do a cookout that day, and we have family pictures. That's where we take all the pictures of everybody in their shirts. And we usually plan, it's usually like a 3-day family reunion. One day we plan one activity for the whole family to participate. And everybody goes to that one activity. But then, you know, the other 2 days, you can kind of do your little groups however you want. But then we get some really great pictures of us tubing or going to the water park or, you know, going panning for gold. So
that's cool. Well, I tried to do the t-shirt thing the last time that we did when we did the Outer Banks, and it didn't go well. I basically picked out the thing and, you know, made all the decals, and I might have even sent them to people, or I might have sent them the PDF to like, and told them what kind of paper to get and how to make their t-shirts, but nobody did it.
That's why we did the Old Navy thing, because huh? You know, everybody had $5, and it was funny because the pictures, you can tell who didn't participate because they wore red shirts, but you know what? They were not the Old Navy shirts. They stood out like sore thumbs.
My family would hate that. Like, they literally would hate that.
I did tie-dye shirts for all the kids one time. My aunt has a big 4th of July party every year. So we were up there for that, and I bought all the stuff. And I actually kind of underestimated how much some of the cousins had grown that I hadn't seen. I was like, oh, he's 3, right? But he was like 5. You know? It's like, oh, sorry. It was a really tidy shirt for him. You know? But you know, they got a kick out of that. That was fun. We do that kind of stuff a lot. We do. We've done 2 cool family reunions at Yosemite, and it didn't end up. I have a really big family, so getting everybody there is really hard. But because you know, I have some California cousins who don't always make it to the East Coast, so that was really cool that they were all there, you know, for those. And my parents came too, but my mom broke her leg on that trip, so she didn't get to go to Yosemite. But it was still really fun. Those are some of my kids' best memories. We did that twice, and those were awesome.
I'm hearing some key things that are so important, and one is to not overplan, and the other is to be flexible. Because I think it's just like a wedding. If you overplan it or you expect everything to go perfectly, you are going to be disappointed. there is just no way that everything's going to go exactly right. It's just not going to happen, or life doesn't happen that way. And so being flexible and also being okay with the fact that not everybody can come, you know, there should never be any pressure. You know, it make it fun for you, and then see who's coming, and then plan activities to go with that. And then don't make everybody do every activity. Some people won't want to do the water park. And we did that. The one family reunion we had, we went to Asheville. We stayed at the Grove Park Inn. And some people went to the spa, and other people went tubing, and other people went hiking, and some people did all three. And, you know, whatever suited your taste was totally fine. And then we would come together for dinner. And that was the part that was prearranged, where we said, okay, we're going to, you know, use this part of the restaurant, or we're going to go to this other restaurant off property or whatever. And that was where we really came together. And that's what we really wanted anyway. That's, you know, when we have our best chats, that it's the sitting around and eating and drinking. Because even, I mean, we're used to weddings and funerals. So, but the activities were really fun. The ones that we did, the hiking and the rafting and everything, it was really, really fun. So,
yeah.
And the meals, you want to make sure, because the adults are going to sit around and talk for hours and hours and hours, make sure there's something that, you know, the kids can go run.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get really bored.
Yep.
Yeah. The second time we did a Myrtle Beach reunion, my dad did like a catered barbecue and fried chicken meal the first night when everybody was just getting in and settled into their beach houses, and they hadn't all gone to the store yet. And that was kind of perfect, because we did it at like this one central house that was beachfront. Like, not all of us could afford oceanfront. So it was nice to have that one oceanfront house where we all showed up, and then that's what we did. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people plan their family reunions and don't think that they can stray from what they've always done, because they're worried about people not being okay with it. But you can stray, and you don't have to stray far. You know, instead of going to Myrtle Beach, go to a Florida Gulf Coast beach or something. You know, just mix it up just a little bit, and it can just change the whole thing. And you might find that people who don't usually come, or who haven't been coming because it was at Myrtle Beach one more time, not to slam Myrtle Beach, would be like, oh, Florida, okay, I'll do that. You know,
yeah,
it looks really pretty. So And you don't have to plan it all yourself. That, the other reason I think people do the same thing again and again is because it's easy. Once you've done it once, you sort of know how to do it. You know who to call, you know. So call your travel agent and get suggestions on where you can go. And again, early. So Donna, you said you plan them a year out. It sounds like maybe even 2 years out. You said 2022 just then.
Usually anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years usually. Because so many people, if they don't, if it's not on their calendar, they're not going to come. But if you can plan that far out in advance, then you can actually, they can basically set aside that time so that they don't plan something or either that or actually, you know, take the time off, because that's also an issue, is when they have to ask for time off.
And if you have kids coming, like if families have kids, there's summer camps, there's sports. You know, I have a cousin whose husband just got another, he was a football coach, and they always had their training starting in August. So we could never travel in August, and he just got another head coaching job. So that's probably going to all change again. So, and Yosemite, for another example, just to bring that up again, the place we like to stay, you have to reserve it a year in advance. So, And you, I mean, I'm talking like, I don't know what it's like now because I haven't done it in a while, but you had to be on the internet at that time ready to book that thing. It was almost like eBay or something, you know, how quick those campsites went at this one campground. And so you had to know, and you had to know how many campsites you needed, and you wanted to be on top of that, doing that right away. So, yeah.
You lost me at camping. Sorry.
It was so much fun. Even when the bear wandered up into the campsite, it was cool. Even though I didn't get to see it because it was behind a tree by the time I ran out of my thing. But, you know.
So Donna, talk about your rotation thing that you do. How do you decide who's next? Is it like age? Is it siblings? I mean, how do you make that decision?
Usually it's whoever volunteers because nobody really wants to plan it. But it's like, I'll do it. Okay. Well, you just planned the last one. So I'll do this one and you can do the next one. And by doing that, you can actually, that's the biggest thing. Make sure that you designate who's going to plan the next family reunion before you leave.
I love that you guys go to such different places. I feel like we keep going to the same places.
We've done Pigeon Forge in Sevierville. We've done Michigan. We've done Branson, Missouri. We've done Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky. We've done Sun River, Oregon. We did Breckenridge, Colorado. And so we try to move it around because we've got family is on the West Coast, and they usually don't go unless you're somewhat on their side of the Rockies.
Yeah.
But we have the concentration on the East Coast. We try to pick something in Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, which is kind of centrally located for everybody on the East Coast.
So they can still drive? Are
yes. That's the big thing is that it usually takes a day or two to get there, but you can drive. So
this is giving me ideas.
I know it's awesome. Funny because listening to you, Donna, I feel like so unmotivated because my family is very spread out, and that's always been the excuse. You know, one's in Phoenix, one's in San Francisco, one's in New York, one's in Illinois, two are in Texas, two are in Ohio. So, you know, two are in South Carolina, one's in North Carolina,
Kansas.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Your family's all over, and yet you still do it.
Back dab in the middle.
We're slackers. What can I say?
And I do need to visit some of the central states. I mean, I've never done like Michigan and those kind of things. And I know it's gorgeous out there, you know?
Well, and there's good beer too. Not that you want to do that. There's very good beer in Michigan. But this is also, this was the year that I started thinking, well, maybe we could go to South Dakota and go to see Mount Rushmore or whatever, because I would never go out there, but because of COVID and, you know, wanting to stay closer to home, I'm like, well, maybe we could do that. Maybe we could see some national parks. Maybe we could go to Glacier National Park. You know, we'll go to some of those states that nobody knows the difference between. Is it Montana or Minnesota? I don't know.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
Make sure it's near a big airport so that people that do fly can fly into a big airport, which is usually less expensive to fly into. So like the one in Branson, people could fly into St. Louis. The one in Michigan, they can fly into Detroit or Chicago. That's one of the biggies, is making sure that it's a location that is close enough that they can fly to a big airport.
So what was close to the one in Kentucky? Cincinnati?
No, most people flew into Nashville.
Oh, okay. It's that side of Kentucky.
They flew into Nashville, and it was about a five-hour drive.
Okay.
I'm not used to taking a five-hour drive after I fly in somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me either, but...
Although Yosemite, I mean, like, when we did Yosemite, we flew to L.A.
Well, they flew into Nashville and spent the night in Nashville and got to go, like, down to the Music Row and things like that and actually see the city and then drove in.
That just reminded me of Sedona. I remember when I flew into Phoenix and I'm like, I have to still drive 3 hours to get to Sedona. This better be worth it. It totally was. Totally was. So, yeah.
Well, if you're a state or national parks person, flying to Vegas is a good jumping point.
It is a fantastic. And I mean, hotels are, you, if you're not staying on the strip, hotels are very reasonable.
Yeah. And yeah. Start going from there. Yeah.
Okay. So that is our show for this evening. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love to for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. So please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, George, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.